Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to At HTO Football. You're back on the podcast, but we are obviously on all the socials at HTO Football, all your podcast platforms. We're not going to say go listen to us on Spotify. We're not going to tell you to listen to us on Apple or anywhere else, because you can listen to us everywhere. We've been running you through the biggest and best transfers in Premier League history, but now it's the big one. It's the 2022-2023 Premier League season preview. We'll look at the big signings this summer, but we're also going to give you a rundown of our predictions and see how horribly wrong we're going to get them. Andrew, looking forward to this. I mean, it feels easy at the beginning of the season. You think it's going to happen, and invariably there's a few shocks.
Yeah, well, every fan up and down the country has a spring in their step, don't they, ahead of the opening season fixture. But yeah, it's been an enjoyable series on the back of that. Really, really enjoyed it. Hope the listeners did as well. But yeah, we are talking next season today, 2022-23, and all that may bring. Going to do our little Carragher and Neville breakdown of all different categories, breakout talent, top goal scorer, etc. So looking forward to getting in. Also, we're going to be doing a little 1-20 as well of our league standings as well. So
yeah, well, I think let's start there. And I think let's start with our top six. I think let's start to talk about top six and relegation, and then we can sort of fill in the gaps and run through the other order, which is obviously a bit more finger in the air. So first and foremost, I've got Man City winning another league title. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I've got City down as champions. I mean, obviously we're recording the day after the Community Shield, when obviously Liverpool were quite impressive yesterday, actually, although they looked more ready than City. And I don't want to read too much into that game because it is a pre-season fixture. But when I was watching that, just sort of having a chat with some mates in the pub, and we were sort of talking a bit about the sort of departures that the City have had, you know, and how Arsenal have benefited from a couple of them. But you've also got Sterling that's left as well. Big players, really. And Calvin Phillips is probably going to be a backup for Rodri. And Haaland is obviously, there's so much expectation on his young shoulders. It's going to be a really interesting season for City, and how they he manages that squad, which is slightly thinner, I think, than it's been for a while. They're still down as champions for me.
Yeah, no, I agree, though. I think what they've done this summer, they've lost a lot of players that make a squad Premier League champions. You know, people like Zinchenko, people like Jesus, people like Sterling. Now, look, they haven't gone and lost Phil Foden, like the heartbeat of a, you know, younger star. They haven't gone and lost their best player. They haven't gone and lost Kevin De Bruyne. But they've lost that squad depth of genuinely quality footballers who you rotate, you come on at 80 minutes, and they change the game. Zinchenko played a massive part in then turning around that loss to Villa into a win and winning the title on the last day, coming on with Gundogan. And so, like, you know, these players make a title winning squad. Even if you could look at City's first 11 and say with Haaland, well, actually probably arguably it might be stronger, because ultimately did those other players get into City's absolute best 11? Sometimes, but not always. Now you've got Haaland there, but you know, so they are going to be challenged. Liverpool did look ready. I just feel like over the season, over the year, again, the quality they possess, City, you know, Liverpool are still heavily reliant on that first 11 staying fit. And with Mane gone, you know, the reliance again on Salah is huge. And if there was an injury to him, we saw what happened 2 years ago when Van Dijk was out for the whole season. I think Liverpool didn't really get close to it. You know, United finished second that year. And I feel like if either a Van Dijk or a Salah got injured, that would sort of be the case again with Liverpool. Whereas I don't think any player in Man City, if one player drops out, I don't think they're so integral that they cannot still go and challenge for the title. So I think, look, all being equal, I think City just edge Liverpool. But I have gone for Liverpool second. I'll just run down now. I've gone for Spurs to finish third. But I would happily see Arsenal there as well. I've gone for Arsenal in fourth. And you know, I think Arsenal have had a good summer. Spurs have had a decent summer. I think what we've done is we've both plugged the gaps that we needed to plug, as opposed to potentially getting the superstars that would make the rest of the league worry. I've gone for Chelsea to finish fifth, and then United to finish sixth. So look, no huge shocks in my top six. And I actually, when I was putting this top six together, I had Chelsea finishing sort of seventh. Sorry, United. Chelsea finished about seventh at one point. I really thought, I think the wheels might come off a little bit with Chelsea. However, they've got a lot of good players there who maybe come into their second or third season at the club. You know, people like Havertz, who, if it goes well, they, you know, suddenly could look very good overnight. So right now, I think there's a lot of doom and gloom around Chelsea. But equally, I feel like they could just turn it around and suddenly go on a bit of a run again. Whereas I think United are year one of a big rebuild. So that's why I've just gone United to edge. It's Chelsea to edge United. But I just feel like those two teams were in slight transition for different reasons. And so I've gone for Spurs and Arsenal to round out the top four. And then Chelsea fifth, United sixth.
Mm. Yeah, there's looking at this top six that I've got here, which is very similar to yours. I just have United and Chelsea and the other way around. That there's almost three tiers that you can see here, where you've got City and Liverpool, who are established giants, who are doing silly numbers every season, out of reach, really. You've got Spurs in third for me and Arsenal in fourth, who are two sides where, although you could argue one club is based on a more pragmatic short-term approach and the other is a longer-term project, I do think both clubs are on the up. They are in a good place. They've had good summers. They've added where they needed to add. And then you've got the third tier of this top six, where you've got two clubs in United and Chelsea, where it's really on quite vulnerable ground, I feel.
Very unknown quantities, aren't they? Both
clubs. Yeah, and you've touched on the Chelsea sort of worry, really. Although it's not necessarily a worry as Arsenal fans, but I do feel that that is very close to falling apart, really, at Chelsea. I think the next two or three seasons are huge for that football club, to be honest, particularly with, obviously, the Roman Abramovich debacle. But
that's the big unknown question about Chelsea in the next 5 years, really.
Yeah, and Thomas Tuchel is he's quite an intense character, and I don't think he's ever too far away from upsetting a few people. I like Ten Hag. I think he's a very good coach. It's going to be interesting to see what he gets out of that team that previous managers haven't been able to muster, really. So now I do think they do have a top coach on that training ground, working with people like Sancho, Rashford, Martial. So that will be interesting.
I think you're right. I think if I had to predict what happens in the next 3 years with those two clubs, I think United get stronger and stronger, you know, whereas I'm not sure Chelsea necessarily do. The reason I just gave a slight edge to Chelsea finishing above them this year is just because of, I think it's year one for Ten Hag. And if Chelsea go on a bit of a run together, Sterling, I think, is a good signing for them. I think he'll guarantee them a fair quantity of goals. I think United, I worry about their firepower. You know, Ronaldo's obviously throwing toys out of the pram, slash took them probably slightly backwards as a club last season. Where are they going to get the quantity of goals from a front line of Martial, Rashford, Sancho, that ilk? That's my question mark with them. But I do agree that the bigger overarching question mark is certainly with Chelsea as a football club in the next 3-5 years. What will that look like? Because, you know, we're on uncharted waters in respect of, you know, Chelsea have had one owner since 2003 and they've got a different one now. And so that will be very interesting to watch. And yeah, it's going to be a fun, you know, this Chelsea had a few seasons in the last 10 years where they really dropped off it. I think the year they won the title, then the year after they finished, was it seventh when Leicester won the league? And then the year after that, they win the league. Or it might have even been like as low as ninth or tenth or wherever it was. And yet then the very next year, they jumped back up there. And I just don't think you're going to get that consistency of spending anymore at Chelsea, which dictates that.
Well, and also this summer, it's quite erratic, really. I mean, they're just going for every man and his dog, aren't they? This summer. And what I wanted to ask you, really, before we move on, obviously we don't want to dwell on the top six too much because there are a lot of fans out there that don't support those clubs. But where do you see the points in terms of like the top and then that the sixth place? Like, where do you think the gaps will be? How big do you think the gaps will be?
I think you're right. I think City and Liverpool will be, again, in a league of their own. I don't think City will hit the heights of the 100 points that they did a couple of years ago. I think we're going to be looking at the sort of early to mid-90s, 94, 95 points to win the title again, which, don't get me wrong, is still a very good haul. It's just that 5, 6, 7 points clear, short of what it could be. I think, again, you're looking for magical 70-point mark for sort of top four stuff, you know, making sure, you know, and I think that should secure it. But I think you're right. I think there'll be City, Liverpool, a bit way and clear. Arsenal, Tottenham duking it out for the remaining Champions League spaces. And then I think there could be a bit of a scrap. And we'll like you said, we're not going to dwell too much, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Chelsea and United, or United and Chelsea, whichever way around you've got it. I wouldn't be surprised to see teams like West Ham, Newcastle, you know, chop really biting out their heels if they have a bit of a loose campaign. Look, before we fill in the gaps, who have you gone to be relegated?
Relegation zone. Okay. Well, in position order, yeah, because we've done that, haven't we?
Which
we can obviously we can wrap up that at the end of the chat with the 1 to 20. But I have bottom three, starting from rock bottom. I have Bournemouth.
Yep.
I have 19th place Fulham.
Same, by the way.
And I'm going for Southampton to get relegated this season.
Interesting. Really interesting. No surprises, like I just said. I've gone for Bournemouth at bottom. I've gone for Fulham next. And frankly, that could be either way around. I just think surely Fulham can't keep on doing the thing where they look brilliant and then finish bottom. So I've just put them 19th. But I think Everton are going to go. So I've got them in 8th. I've got Everton in 18th.
Yeah, I've got them in 17th.
Yeah, I think Everton are going to go this year, and I like, you know, they're a huge club, but what they didn't do was invest in the way I thought they might this summer. You know, to try and haul them out of trouble. Look, we're going to get onto it in a minute, but I'm not necessarily sure Frank Lampard's the man. Did you see the way he was speaking in the preseason friendly the other day after their loss? He looked devastated. It looked like it was November and they hadn't won a league game yet. You know, look, kind of that look of sort of disillusionment. I think they just could go this year. Interesting, you got Saints there. Like, what are you thinking there?
I think Southampton, a little bit like Burnley, actually have for the last couple of seasons flirted with it a little bit. They struggle to score goals, which is a notorious problem for Southampton. And you know, the old adage is, if you don't score enough goals in the Premier League, you tend to go down at some point. Which is what Burnley have struggled with in the previous years. So, again, when I'm looking at my bottom sort of 7-8 here, there's a few teams that you could put into this cluster. Everton are 17th for me. So, yeah, they're obviously going to be dragged into it. We'll talk a bit about the other clubs maybe in a little while.
Let's go. I'm just going to run you down my list then. So, in 7th, I've got, biting at Chelsea's heels, I've got West Ham. I think they've made a pretty good, strong summer. Kamak has come in as well. I think that's a nice signing to bolster attack and to work with Antonio up top. I think it's quite a business this summer, which I'm quite assured by. I've got Newcastle in 8th. But again, I wouldn't be surprised to see Newcastle go 7th. You know, one of their signings in particular is going to feature potentially my signing of the summer. Again, I think they've targeted the business they need. I think they just might be, again, a little short on goals, depending on how Callum Wilson's hamstrings hold up. But again, I think what they're doing is doing the right thing in terms of getting a solid spine, and potentially they will add that wealth of attacking creativity and brilliance in the windows to come. Got them in 8th. I've got Leicester in back in 9th. I think quiet summer, you know, I trust Brendan Rodgers to have a good campaign and get them back on track. Villa 10th, Brighton 11th, Palace 12th, Wolves 13th, Southampton 14th. I've got them as high as that, but you know, they could be down there. Leeds 15th, Brentford 16th, Forest, I'm imagining a last day survival in, you know, montages of Brian Clough on the Premier League montages just about surviving. And then, as we've walked through, Everton, Fulham, Bournemouth, bottom three.
Okay. So picking it up from 7th place then. So I have Newcastle.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, who are going to build on last season's progress under Eddie Howe. I don't think it was ignored, but I do feel like the progress made kind of went under the radar slightly. I mean, they were really struggling in relegation sort of fodder, really, came in. And the points that they accumulated, obviously the signings they've made since, and like you've alluded to a minute ago, that I really feel they're doing things smartly. They're not going crazy in the market. Some really solid signings.
What they're not doing is spending 40, 50, 60 million on an individual who potentially has seen their better days. They're a big name, but they're just looking for a paycheck. You know, like, you know, I'm not saying this kind of player, but if you, you know, if you went into the into Europe right now and you threw a lot of money at a player who's maybe in their
like a Koulibaly.
You know, early to mid 30s, who's, you know, a big name, you know, it's just someone like, you know, they wouldn't have gone there. But, you know, if they were sniffing around Bale as a free transfer after before he went to America, that kind of Ronaldo. Star name, Ronaldo even, the star names, throw a lot of money at them, throw 400 grand a week at them. But frankly, are they going to improve your team for the next two, three, 4 years? I think they've got a very astute manager to build with them. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you said that Eddie Howe, I think, you know, he's going to have a lot of control and influence over that football club, and rightly so. And he's not going to be signing players like Cristiano Ronaldo, that's for sure. Yeah, West Ham, 8th. Brighton, 9th.
Okay.
Leicester, 10th. Crystal Palace, 11th. Wolves, 12th. I was tempted to put Wolves a bit further down. I think they're going to struggle, Wolves, this season. 13th, Villa.
Hello for Villa.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I saw the cracks starting to appear, actually. I'm not sure Gerrard's cut out for what people thought, really, as a coach. 14th, Forest. I think they're going to have a strong season. Very hard to play against at home. Going to pick up a few points there, I think, which will keep them safe with maybe a couple of weeks spare. Leeds in 15th. They could get dragged into... I mean, so what I was going to mention here is I think from Forest down now, they're all going to be involved. Yeah. So you've got Forest, Leeds, Brentford, Everton just to stay up with Southampton, Fulham and Bournemouth.
Yeah, very similar for me. I think it's got the same six or seven clubs. The Saints down for me. Saints in 14th, Leeds 15th, Brentford 16th, Forest 17th, Everton, Fulham, Bournemouth. Same clubs, different orders. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see any of those in any order, you know, and it wouldn't shock
me. Just to mention a bit about Southampton, because I know you had them a bit further up. And yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they finished 14th, 13th.
Yeah, that's where I have them, 14th. You know, I don't have them higher than that because they do struggle for goals.
I just feel like, and this might come up in a little while when we have our chats about some different categories, is that Hasenhüttl, I just feel like, is that coming to an end a little bit at Southampton? But we'll see. I do like him. I do like Hasenhüttl.
Well, do you want to start there? I know he's not the one we agreed pre chat, but why don't we start with, you know, it's maybe late October, early November, maybe. A manager's got off to a nightmare of a start. Who do you think's first on the chopping board? There's a few, isn't there?
According to Odds Checker, which obviously other websites are available, but Frank Lampard is the favourite. I'm not sure. Do you know what? A couple of weeks ago when we played them in pre-season and they were just an absolute mess, I thought, yeah, Lampard like nailed on, like it might even be four or five games. Because if they get off to a bad start, Evan, I'm not sure what their fixtures are like. You might know with your FPL knowledge. I don't know what their start's like.
It's middling. They don't actually have a terrible start. But...
No, I just think that if they get off to a really bad, say they don't win in the first four or five,
They've got Chelsea first up, which is obviously a very tough game. But then they go on a run of games where actually they could get something. They've got Villa. They're at home to Forest. Then they're away to Brentford. Then they play Leeds. So you've got Villa, Forest, Brentford, Leeds. And then they hit a really tough stretch. So what you've got there is you've got four games, which for me, Lampard needs to really get a good couple of wins under his belt. Because Chelsea first up is a tough game. Then you've got these four very, as individual games go, quite winnable, you know, games they've fancied themselves. But then they hit a really tough stretch. They've got the Merseyside derby against Liverpool. Then they go away to Arsenal. Then they're playing West Ham. A couple of weeks later, they're playing Man United. Then they're going away to Spurs, away to Newcastle. They really hit this tough stretch in September and October. So...
Well, August, they need to get August, don't they?
Yeah. So August is fairly kind to them after their opening day, but then it gets really tough in September and October. So, you know, for Lampard, unless he gets a good August under his belt, he could go first.
My dilemma is between the bookies' top two favourites with Hasenhüttl, funnily enough. And that kind of, I guess, reassures me with my selection for relegation, really. I think Hasenhüttl is coming to the end of his time at Southampton.
Well, it's interesting those two are favourites, and we've got them either for going down each. Sorry, those two are the two favourites, and you've got Southampton to go, and I've got Everton to go, and they are the big clubs, obviously.
Yeah, I'm going to say Hasenhüttl was my pick because we're gonna post these just so we can get pellets thrown at us. But I'm going to go for Hasenhüttl. But I think Southampton will be more patient. I don't know how patient than Everton will be, if that makes sense. I think Lampard and Everton, that could end quickly. Whereas with Southampton, they might drag their heels a little bit.
I don't disagree. I'm probably going Lampard, but I can hear this now to the claim. I think a couple of others to throw out there at the sort of the other end of the league table is we said,
Tuchel.
Chelsea, Thomas Tuchel. Which way does that go? I mean, Chelsea, we could be looking silly here, and come Christmas, Chelsea are almost in the title challenge. Who knows? Because they do have a good squad and they are still splashing lots of money. I think they're trying to compile a massive bid for Fofana, aren't they, from Leicester at the moment? So they're looking like they're going to put money on the table again. Mm. And they could surprise us. Equally, Chelsea are a strange football club. It could easily go the other way, struggling start, and suddenly he's on the chopping board. Mm. Another one I mentioned a minute ago is Brendan Rodgers at Leicester. So, they had a really good two or three seasons where he finished, fifth twice in a row. Mm. And I know there were a couple of campaigns there where they could / potentially even should have got Champions League football. Mm. But nonetheless, if you're Leicester City and you're finishing fifth every year, you're bloody happy.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And he did a really good job in those things, obviously culminating in the FA Cup win as well. Last year really struggled. So I think it's a really big first 2-3 months for Leicester as well. And again, I think it's another campaign that could go either way. I think you could either see Maddison and Harvey Barnes stay fit. Maddison potentially stay at Leicester because I know teams are sniffing, such as Newcastle. But if they do stay and they get their act together, it wouldn't surprise them to me to see them doing quite well, and I've put them ninth. However, the other way, Brendan could easily go.
Yeah, I think if we were to widen now, net here for the first sacking, I would go for those four names. It will be either Lampard, Hasenhüttl, Rodgers, or Tuchel.
Yep.
And interestingly, none of the promoted sides, which I do, when you look at the managers they do have, they're young, Cooper, Parker, Silva, they're all very talented young coaches.
Agreed. And I think others that may struggle, I think teams will just be slightly a bit more patient. So for example, Gerrard and Vieira, I feel like Villa and Palace will give them a bit of time.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I'll potentially lump for Lampard, you go to Snow. Then we got it covered, haven't we? One of us will probably be right. Top scorer, Premier League top scorer. Obviously, last year shared, wasn't it? I believe I'm right in saying Heung-min and Salah.
I found a tricky one. And then I just found myself always going back to Salah.
Yeah.
Because Haaland is probably I'm not sure who's the rookie's favourite, actually. It might be Haaland. But I'm going to be boring and go for Haaland because I feel like...
I don't think that's boring. I think that's the exciting pick. I think you could see a really good race here where I think personally, Haaland's going to take a few weeks to get... I mean, this is classic. Commentator's curse stuff, a few weeks to get going and watch you'll go and score two or three goals in the opening weekend. But I feel like he might take a couple of weeks to get going. But I also feel he'll probably score heavy hauls. There'll be games where he gets 2-3. There might even be a game where he scores 4 goals. That kind of striker where when City just run riot at home to like a Forest and they could win 7-8-0 or something like, maybe not Forest, they're quite good resolute. Maybe at home to Fulham.
Sorry, Forest fans, but
maybe at home to Fulham. Sorry, Fulham fans, but maybe they're at home to Fulham.
They love playing? Who's that team they absolutely smash at home?
Well, Liverpool smash Saints, didn't they? But I don't know.
There is a club. There's someone. They'll have to let us know on Twitter. There is a club that they just it's they pump them 5 every time.
So well, maybe it's, I think it's like Norwich, but they're gone. So Bournemouth at home, obviously Bournemouth at home, second game, I think. But basically what I mean is that there'll be some weeks
Watford,
where City, there'll be some weeks where City go heavy. And I feel like those weeks, Haaland could smash a lot of goals. I'm going Haaland over Salah just, but I feel it's kind of the race, like I said, that I think Salah will start as Salah. And, Egyptian King back at it. But I just feel that once he hits his stride, Haaland's a goal machine.
Yeah. And I think there'll be maybe a couple of players over in North London at Spurs who will probably be not far behind either.
And who knows? Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed. But I think Kane and Son, they're two players that, although Haaland, there's a bit more uncertainty, I think that with Haaland could do like big, big numbers. Whereas, you know, with Kane and Son, it's going to be at least 15 Premier League goals.
Well, it'll
plus,
be interesting to see what Harry Kane does this year, because actually he had a good season last year, but actually his goal tally was quite low. Mm. He only had, you know,
goal involvement, isn't it?
Yeah. It'd be very interesting for me to see if Haaland's confirmed. I don't know. Maybe I'm just behind the curve and Man City fans will know. Who's on City pens? I don't think they've got that nailed yet. I don't think they've had a regular penalty taker who's got a great record over the last few years. Yeah. So if he gets those duties, that could obviously boost his numbers. But that'll be interesting to see. It wouldn't surprise me to see Salah, Kane, Son get it. But I'm just going to go Haaland. I think once KDB and him get up a bit of a relationship, that could be frightening.
Yeah, we'll go Haaland.
What do you want to go for next? What category?
Breakout talent. Okay. So we didn't sort of go over this beforehand. We started recording. What's the criteria we're going to set for this? Is it a new signing? Is it a young player? Can it be both?
I think it can be both. I don't think it necessarily has to be a young player. It can be maybe a player that's gone massively under the radar before, but invariably they would be a young one, because if you're 27, 28 years old, you wouldn't have gone on the radar for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And they have to be relatively unknown, or we know a little bit about
them. Or just never hitting the heights. Yeah.
Okay, I've got two picks then. I'm going to go classic fence sitting, two picks here.
Yeah, I've got three or four to talk about, so yeah, go for two.
My first one is going to be Alvarez at City.
Yep.
Who I think we saw a little bit of yesterday, and there's a little bit of Suarez about him.
Yeah.
I felt. And I think if Haaland isn't interesting to see, actually, if they go two up top sometimes, to keep an eye on that this season at City. And then everyone will be talking about needing to go back to 4-4-2 again. I think Alvarez is going to be really hot, really sharp. And a handful. And I'm going for Michael Olise at Palace, who I absolutely love. Incredibly exciting talent. Hopefully he can stay fit. And yeah, I think a big season for Olise to really start making his mark on the league.
Yep. No, I mean, those are fine picks. I really like Olise as well. I think he's a top player. I'd like to see him come to Arsenal, frankly. So I think that's a really good pick, shrewd pick. And yeah, I think Alvarez is very much under the radar. You're right. The ones I sort of picked out, it can't be his breakout season, because I think that was last year. But I think Ramsey at Villa will continue to impress. So that's another one that I think will continue to kick on and really cement. But the three I wanted to talk about was, first of all, another Villa player. And I mentioned him. I just have a personal like for Leon Bailey. 23 now, so he's not really in that really young category. But lots of niggling injuries last year. Only played 15 odd league games. Has had a good pre-season. Was very good at Leverkusen. I think he could be a breakthrough year in the Premier League for him. I think he could have a good campaign. I think obviously everyone's looking at Coutinho there, but I think he's going to do some good things, a dangerous wide man. But the two I'm sort of plumping for, because they fit more the bracket of a young player. I think Neco Williams has got his loan move to Forest. And again, conveyor belt, I know he's not English, but like a conveyor belt of top young right backs across the Premier League. And this is another one who's attacking, fought very highly of at Liverpool. Obviously, no way through in the fullback world at Liverpool when you've got Trent on one side and Rob on the other. But I think he's going to have a very good campaign and catch a lot of eyes. And it'll be interesting to see what Liverpool do with him come the end of the year, because I think, you know, that's a name that's on a lot everyone's lips. The name I'm probably pumping for, that it's boring to say it because it's another Man City player, but it's Cole Palmer. I think people, unless you know City closely, potentially not as familiar with that name, but you're talking another name that they think incredibly highly of. And a bit like the Phil Foden thing, where they protected him for 2 or 3 years. I don't know his age. Let me look up to it. So apologies, listeners. I'm going to look up literally as we speak his age. But it kind of feels like you see other players break through in teams at 16, 17, 18 years old. What Man City do, because they obviously they've got the luxury of a quality team, is they actually slightly protect them. Phil Foden wasn't playing 50 league games or comps at 18 years old. He was being broken through gently. And they've done the same thing with Cole Palmer. And I think this could be his year. 20 now, will turn 21 towards the back end of the campaign. There's another top, exciting talent there. Obviously, he went to...
predominantly plays centrally.
So and wide off right, but yeah,
think about the competition he's got to have there. I mean, oof.
He has, but
he's going to have to be Foden. He's going to have to be Foden levels, isn't he? Really,
he is. But the City rate him very highly, and I wanted to go for a pick that was slightly like under the radar, and someone who's going to be breaking through. And I think he's just going to have that come the end of the year. You'll see him in cup competitions, and something tells me that City is going to get a lot of game time at the City this year. You know, with the Sterling moving off, Jesus moving off, I know they've got Alvarez who can play that sort of wide forward role, but I feel like he's going to get a lot more games than people were expecting. And because of that, he's going to be my breakout player.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's hard to, this in this day and age of social media and YouTube, it's hard to find breakout talent, isn't it, that people don't know about?
And none of these players that we've mentioned are completely unknowns, but I'm hoping that they're sort of enough of a breakout year.
One other player to mention who looked quite exciting just briefly when we saw him yesterday against City is Carvalho at Liverpool, who is very, very, very highly thought of. So that will be one to watch as well. Yeah, and hopefully Harvey Elliott can stay fit as well, because he's obviously an exciting talent. So.
Yeah, agreed. Young player of the season. I'm an Arsenal fan, so I'm gonna say he's been Arsenal's player of the year for the last two seasons. I personally think he should have run it a lot closer last year to winning young player of the year. I'm gonna go Bukayo Saka. I'm personally a believer that I think young player of the year shouldn't be. I don't think you should be allowed to be young player of the year unless you've got under a certain amount of games. But Bukayo Saka is only 20 years old still, which is astonishing. So he definitely qualifies in terms of age, but obviously he's Arsenal's best player for the last two seasons. But I think he's going to continue to become the main man at Arsenal and continue to shine that light. And I think it'll be him. I think it's just going to be another fantastic campaign for him.
That's a good shout. I mean, I think that I'm not sure I'm going to pick him the young player of the season, but I think that there's a lot of spotlight on Saka, rightly so. Being English as well helps, I think, with that. But Gabriel Martinelli, I think, is going to surprise a lot of people this season. I actually think that he could be, breakout talent. But I think we know enough about him already, really. But I think Bukayo Saka is quite a good shout. Erling Haaland. I mean, how young is Erling Haaland? I mean,
well, he could. I think the rules sometimes are ridiculous. I remember, people still winning it when they were. I think it was Dele Alli still winning it when he was like 23 at the end of the season. I was like, is he really a young player anymore?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I need to go for someone here, because otherwise I'm just always like covering my back. So I'm going to go Saka.
Saka, that's fair. I think it'll be another good year. I think for Kulusevski as well, a young player at Spurs. Be interesting to see if he nails that. Obviously, they're going to got Richarlison. I expect come the end of the season that Kulusevski will definitely be on part of that firm front three. So I think he'll be in for another good year, good campaign. But you're right; some of these forwards that are going at the top of the table, they're not exactly of age, no, so they could all qualify.
I mean, Trent will obviously have a lot to say in this category as well, won't he?
Yeah, would he still qualify this year? It'll be close.
He must be younger than Kulusevski, surely.
No, I don't think so. Kulusevski's 22.
Okay. Trent's probably the same, isn't he? 22, something like that.
Trent's 23. So.
Been around for ages, isn't it? It feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Kulusevski doesn't look that young, man.
No, I was surprised the other day.
Trent's going to obviously have a lot to say in this category. Again, he's going to be incredibly influential, isn't he? The stats are going to be up through the roof. So
yeah, no, I'm not sure. Again, I'm not necessarily sure on the age qualification, but if he doesn't qualify, he could very close to player of the season.
Is it 23, I think?
I feel like it might be 20, like you're allowed to be 23, but I think you might have to be 22 at the beginning of the season as opposed to through it. But he could go very close to the player of the season. I'm still struggling to actually name a player of the season.
Player of the season we're going on to now, yeah?
Yeah, I'm still struggling to name a player of the year simply because, the best footballer in the year, in the Premier League, is still Kevin De Bruyne. The guy sees everything. He's a phenomenal footballer. But is he going to have that breakout year where it's just sort of everything goes through him? He's the main man on everything. Just because of the nature and the way City play, I'm not necessarily sure he has that. Sort of has that about him, but he's the best footballer in the league, so he could well go and win that. However, if Liverpool go and challenge again for the Premier League title, as I've just said, I think Trent is will continue to redefine that sort of right back, right wing back kind of role and the numbers he puts up. So I think he could go very close. Haaland could go very close if he delivers on what people believe he could. Salah will be there or thereabouts again. And I think it's going to be a big sack campaign for Harry Kane. I'm going to say we've got World Cup this year. He didn't get the numbers last year. Heung-min Son got Golden Boot. Now, we all know how selfish Harry Kane is, how much he loves a goal. I think he'll be very keen to get that back this year, the Golden Boot. So I'm going to go Harry Kane to score 25 plus league goals, carry Spurs to sort of Champions League spots again, and potentially win Player of the Year. That's my random shout, but it's the shout I'm going for.
25 league goals.
Plus.
That's a lot. That's a lot of league goals. That's like nearly double last season, though.
Yeah. You know, last year, like I said, I think it was 12, 18 league or something like that.
I think that World Cup could take a lot out of him, actually. On the other hand, you know, emotionally, physically, hopefully he doesn't score that amount of goals. Should we just add that in there?
Yeah, I think hopefully he doesn't.
Yeah, and we haven't mentioned obviously our new hitman who could be mentioned in some of these categories that we've mentioned, Gabriel Jesus, but maybe not for top goal scorer or player of the year. But I just think if we're talking about maybe signing, which is our next category, I think he would be one of my shouts for sure, because he's going to transform that attack.
Very much so. I think, do you know what? Sometimes you get signings that work for all parties. And do you know what? Was he going to go and do anything else at Man City? Probably not. He'd kind of scaled the heights. He'd won the league a few times. Man City really liked him. They loved him and he loved Man City. But I think his role was clear there. He was never going to be the guy. They've just gone and signed Erling Haaland. Arsenal badly needed a new front line after Aubameyang and Lacazette both departing in the last 12 months. And the money was right. And for the player, you've got a chance to come and be the main focal point at another huge Premier League club. Yes, not quite challenging for the honours that Manchester City are, but he's not going to Tranmere, again, all respect to Tranmere fans, but he's not going to a lower league team. He's going to Arsenal Football Club. And it's a move that works out for all parties. And I think he's going to have a fantastic year, Gabriel Jesus. I really do. I think, you know, again, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I'm high on this. But I really love the way he and Saka are looking pre-season. They're both looking seriously sharp. Yeah. Seriously sharp. So I think he could go close. The man I've picked is actually a Newcastle signing. Sven Botman, and I think that it's not a glamour signing. You know, he's not going to catch the headlines the way that Haaland does and the way that Gabriel Jesus, we hope, will. But again, we spoke about a club building correctly, and whatever you think about the way Newcastle got their money, they're at least not spending it very rashly. And I feel like getting a young centre-back who, by all accounts and by reports and by clubs that are interested in him, was touted across Europe and lots of people
and
wanted
YouTube
him.
Compilations
and YouTube compilations. He's looking brilliant. And I feel like if they get a sure defence there, they really have a fantastic platform. And I think going to get their version of Van Dijk, you know, your linchpin at the right there, is probably pretty astute. So he could be another one that's right up there for me. And obviously you've got your big names that we've discussed, which could explode or could flop.
Yeah. I think there's in the pool of signings that I've got down for this, and Jesus would be my pick, is obviously you've got the big ones with Nunez and Haaland as well. Botman was down, and obviously Yves Bissouma at Spurs, who I think is a bit like Jesus. Maybe not as transformational, maybe, but a no-brainer, absolute no-brainer of a signing. I think for influence an impact on the team that he's joining, I would have to go for Jesus, I think. And straight away, he looks at home, doesn't he? And I think, different to Kane with the World Cup thing, I actually think it's going to work perfectly for Arsenal this season. And Martinelli will be going to that World Cup, hopefully, as well, injury-free. Jesus feeling like the main man at a club for the first time since he left Palmeiras. Let's mention that. So, four league titles under his belt, already at 25 years of age. We pretty much, I think it's a bit disrespectful to say we've played without a striker last season, but I know what people mean when they say that. And I think he's going to get more out of Saka. He's going to get more out of Martinelli, Odegaard. And I think he will have the biggest impact at his new club out of all of them. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I think you could be well be right. I think the two, that's why I think we're landing on the two signings that will have big impacts at their club as opposed to necessarily just the best signings, because Man City won the league last year. Do you know what I mean? So, has he made them get better? Absolutely, if he scored those goals. Has he made them... I see the ice cream man in the background. That's what I want. Ice cream man. I've just had an ice cream van fill up, ringing out. That's beautiful.
New signing.
Ice cream. But no, in all seriousness, that's not changed the game if Erling Haaland goes and get, deliver. He can't deliver them the league title because they already have it. Yeah. Whereas Jesus and Botman, people like that, they have the ability to elevate their teams, and that's what we're looking for.
Well, Liverpool... we're on the brink of a quadruple last season, so Darwin's got to be doing something pretty special, hasn't he, to make them go up a notch.
This is it. It's very difficult for teams, you know. Heavy lies the head that wears the crown, you know, as the famous saying goes. It's how do you can't elevate Manchester City, you can't elevate Liverpool. All you can really hope to do is maintain that ridiculously high standard. Whereas I think if you're Sven Botman or if you're Gabriel Jesus going to Newcastle and Arsenal respectively, you have a great chance to be play a part in your clubs taking that next step. And for Arsenal, that'll be re-cementing ourselves back in Champions League places after what, 6, 7, 8 years out. And for Newcastle, that'll be really pushing them on to challenge for the top eight and top six. And if you do that, you're an amazing signing.
Yeah, two names to probably drop in just late doors here would be Scamacca, who you alluded to earlier at West Ham. Who is he going to be? I mean, I'm sort of mulling over the FPL draft at the moment. Do I have him in there or not? But is he going to be the man to not replace maybe Mikel Antonio, but to take the pressure off him?
Yeah.
He's a young striker coming over from Italy who, you know, let's face it, Italian strikers, I can't remember many over the years having a huge impact on the Premier League. So that's going to be a tough challenge for him. And also Lisandro Martinez, who for me has chosen the wrong club to join. We were in for him. I mean, obviously, he's a lot of money they're paying for him, which is why Arsenal pulled out, because it was just getting to silly numbers. But he is an excellent, excellent player who, under Ten Hag, who he knows, I'm sure he's going to have an impact on that team. I'm not sure it's going to be enough of an impact to transform United into a top four team, a challenging team again. But he's an incredibly exciting defender, very aggressive, and I just wish we'd signed him. But I can see why we pulled out. So, one to watch.
Yeah, top player. You know, I was a bit sceptical on his height, but, you know, for a centre-back come inverted full-back, people assure me that he is the butcher, as they say, and that he will physically adapt to the league. But it's definitely a good signing for United. And again, another player that they need, another player that's going to come in and be combative and I think fit seamlessly into that new team and what they need to do.
Yeah. I chuckled there about the whole, that butcher nickname. It just makes me laugh every time I hear it. You just think, you look back to those centre-backs in the 60s and 70s.
Absolutely. And yeah.
Oh.
You've got a player now who's the height of Lionel Messi and being called the butcher. But we'll see. Look, you know, reputation precedes him. Look, he doesn't really fit into a character category. So, but one other name I wanted to mention was Jadon Sancho. I think it's going to be a really big season for Jadon Sancho. I think if United are looking at a new dawn under Ten Hag, I think he's going to play a big part of that. And I wanted to put him in one of my categories, but I don't think he's quite going to be player of the year levels. I might feature in young player of the years if he's still eligible.
I really like Sancho.
And he's not, and he obviously couldn't be signing of the summer because he arrived last year. But I just feel that he came last year, slightly struggled with the huge price tag and back to the Premier League. He also had the Ronaldo cloud, which United had over the whole club. I just feel it's going to be a big season for him. So that'll be another one who didn't quite fit, but I wanted to throw out.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this earlier. I really like Ten Hag, and I think that what we're going to see this season is not a drastic improvement there at Old Trafford, but I think we're going to start to see signs of a strategy and approach to way of playing. And
they've got
players there who will adopt the Ten Hag press well. You've got people like Rashford who might come alive again. Sancho's been playing in Germany for Dortmund. He knows how to play that style. They're not going to be playing Ronaldo probably as regularly. He might not even be at the club. Cavani's gone. Matic, you know, they've done some fairly decent business. I just don't think enough of it, United. And I think that if they stick with Ten Hag, there's the makings there of something that could get them back. It's just that the next year or two, they're going to have to recruit a lot better than they have previously. And in Martinez, that is a Ten Hag signing. You know, we're doing it at the moment with Arteta. You know, it's the right fit. A lot of money, but Malacia is a very good player. I think that, yeah, we will start to see the early signs of a revival.
So top six, I've gone City, Liverpool, Spurs, Arsenal, Chelsea, United, although the Chelsea United, the paper thin could be either way. Relegation free, I've gone Everton 18th, Fulham in 19th, Bournemouth in 20th. Top scorer, I've got Haaland by a cigarette paper from Kane and Salah. Breakout player, hitting everyone's lips. I think by the end of the year, we'll all be talking about Cole Palmer. Not quite in the same breath for Phil Foden, but not many miles away. Signing of the year, I like the Gabriel Jesus argument. I could hear that. I'm going for Sven Botman just because I think it will elevate Newcastle and bring them solidarity. Player of the season, potentially Harry Kane, but it's hard to look past the best player in the league, Kevin De Bruyne. And young player of the year, Bukayo Saka. And the first manager to be sacked, Frank Lampard. What have you gone for?
Well, top six, very similar. City, Liverpool, Spurs, Arsenal, United, Chelsea. Relegation, Bournemouth, rock bottom, Fulham and Southampton. Just trying to think of the categories now. First sacking, I went for Hasenhüttl.
Yep.
Just over Lampard, although Everton might bite the bullet a bit quicker. Signing of the season, Gabriel Jesus. Young player of the year, we were in agreement of Bukayo Saka. Player of the year, I'm not sure if I kind of went for one in the end, but I'm going to go for the safe bet here with Kevin De Bruyne, because I think that more often than not, it's the team that wins the league that has the player in it usually, and I think that he will be their best player.
He's also the best player in the Premier League, so you know, it's not a bad shout.
And what else have we got? Breakout talents. I went for two of them because I'm a coward. Alvarez at City and Elise at Palace. And I think that was it.
Yeah, signing. Oh, no, you said it, Gabriel Jesus. And yeah. top scorer, you went for Haaland.
Haaland. There is a caveat there. I think that we're still yet to see if he is going to be this kind of absolute monster.
Look, there is, as they call it, the Bundesliga tax. We know there are, you know, there is a tax. It's not the same level of standard across the league. However,
the amount of chances he's going to be getting on a plate.
Yeah, and he does just look made for the Premier League, doesn't he? I just wonder whether he's made for Man City, the way he plays. But we will see, and I'm sure he will adapt, and Man City will adapt. Because when you have an asset that valuable, and I don't just mean price, I mean that potent and that strong, I think there will be adaption on both sides. Because I think it's not, Man City will be silly not to leverage some of his strengths. It'd be great to hear some of your predictions, people. We'll send a tweet out. Who you think is going to be top scorer? Who you think is going to be the breakout young player? Who's going to be young player of the year? Best player of the player of the season, signing of the season, manager to go, top six, relegation. We'll throw a few tweets out, get those rolling in, and most of all, of course, enjoy the kickoff of the Premier League season. We're what, 5 or 6 days away?
Exciting times. I mean, it might be worth mentioning our FPL league, Tom, at this point.
Yep, go for it. We'll throw another one of those out there. Enjoy, add, play your game, play it well. Always good fun.
There'll be a tweet out with the code to join, guys. Look out for that. Our little private league will run for the second season in a row. So, yeah, look forward to seeing your entries for that as well.
Take care and catch up soon.